Chapter 8 Hansel and Gretel and the Dragon. Once upon a time, on a bright but sunless morning, Hansel and Gretel stood in the middle of the town of Wenschen's tiny central square. Actually, it wasn't even a square. It was more like a grassy hole between the tavern and the bakery. Hansel and Gretel wore their finest, most regal clothes, and, so that all could see them, they stood on a table that had been brought out from the tavern. The people of Wenschen gathered around the black-haired prince and the golden blonde princess and peered at them wonderingly, expectantly. This was the strangest thing to have happened in the little town in anyone's memory. Not only was it unheard of for royalty to pay them a visit, unless in some grand procession that was just passing through, Hansel and Gretel had come alone, alone. But the prince and princess had been the talk of the kingdom since their return. To see them, here. Well, you can imagine it that no self-respecting Wenschender would miss it. So they gathered in the grassy square beneath birds that sang in the bare branches of the trees and waited to hear what had brought the young prince and princess to their town. Hansel shifted uneasily from foot to foot as he looked at the expectant faces before him. Wenschen had been lucky so far. The dragon had not yet visited, but nonetheless the people were thin from the lean times the dragon had brought to the kingdom, and they looked afraid. There seemed to be fear lingering at the corners of their mouths. A few even glanced up at the sky periodically. Hansel didn't have to ask what they were looking for. Gretel saw all this too, and then she began to speak to the people of Wenschend. She told them she knew they were scared. She told them that she was scared too. She told them that fear would not save them from the dragon. She told them that only courage would save them. They must fight it, she said. They must fight it. Gretel spoke, and the people of Wenschen, grown men and women, listened to her. Not a single villager spoke, not a single villager moved. When she had finished, every person was totally still. And then someone shouted, "What? What did she say?" cried someone else. Gretel looked confused. Had they not been able to hear her? "She must be out of her mind," another called. "She's crazy. Is that child talking to us?" They had heard her. Gretel turned red. Hansel cut in. "If we do nothing," he said, "the dragon will destroy the entire kingdom. We'll die. We might as well fight it." "Join us," Gretel called desperately. "Do something that you will be able to tell your children and your children's children. Join us and fight the dragon." A single person cheered. "We need you all," Hansel said, taking encouragement from this one enthusiast. "Men and women, veterans and volunteers, anyone who can shoot an arrow or hold a weapon, we need you all." "I volunteer," that single person called. "Yes," cried another, "let's fight it." The crowd began to hum with talk. Hansel and Gretel looked at each other. It was working. It was working. "Are you crazy?" suddenly rang out above the hum and din. Heads turned. Hansel and Gretel looked around for the source of the cry. "You people must be nuts." It was a tall man, thin but muscular, with a bald head and a boxer's nose. He stood near the back of the group. "What do you think you're doing?" he went on. "Have you seen the dragon? Have you fought it before? It will kill you. It will kill all of you." "Shut up," someone cried. "We've got to do something," someone else called out. "Die?" "Is that what we have to do?" he paused. No one responded. "I've seen this beast. I was there when we fought it the first time. You can't beat it. Arrows practically bounced off of it. It can kill 4 people at once, 1 with each of its 4 feet. And look at them," he said, gesturing at Hansel and Gretel. "They're children. Children! You're going to follow children into battle against a dragon? Are you all out of your minds?" There was a pause. The subjects of Wakshen turned to hear the prince and princess's reply. Hansel was red in the face. Gretel was pale. They stared out over their subjects. All was quiet. The children opened their mouths, but neither had anything to say. "Ridiculous!" the bald man cried, and he turned his back on Hansel and Gretel and walked into the tavern. The door closed with a slam. "Wait!" Hansel shouted. "Wait!" But suddenly people were dispersing, heading to the tavern or back to their homes. "Would you rather die in a tavern or in a field of battle?" Hansel cried. "A tavern!" someone shouted, and a few others laughed. More Wenschenders turned their backs on Hansel and Gretel. "Would you rather die having done nothing or having tried?" "Nothing!" someone called. But those who would have laughed were gone now. The remaining villagers were silent. "Will you follow us to fight the dragon?" Hansel asked. More silence. "If you will," Gretel said. Meet us at the castle in 3 days' time. Bring your weapon of choice. And, she added with as much strength as she had left, bring your courage. As Hansel and Gretel made their way out of Washend, Hansel turned to his sister.
Well, he said, that went terribly.
Yes, it did, she replied. They walked a little farther. Then she asked, ready to do it again? He sighed, I guess so. And they set off for the next town. 3 days later, Hansel and Gretel waited in the castle courtyard. Scattered around it were groups of volunteers. Small groups. No more than a handful apiece. It's early yet, Gretel said. More will come. Hansel wrung his sweaty hands. I suppose, he said, the recruitment had been brutal. Town after town. Are you crazy? What do you think you're going to do? You're just children. They're just children. You're going to follow children into battle? There have been some who seemed ready to fight. A few. But most grew silent and wary when they heard they were expected to follow Hansel and Gretel, little Hansel and Gretel, to war. But as the hours went by in the castle courtyard, people came. Raw recruits carrying hunting bows and even pitchforks made their way through the great gates. But there were also groups that were obviously veterans, men with thick necks and wooden shields and shining swords. There were women, too, archers mostly, but also women carrying swords and spears. One had a rake. We'd better get that one something proper to fight with, Hansel said, pointing. Gretel chuckled and nodded. By late afternoon, the children felt better. Before them stood some 500 soldiers. It was an enormous group, and it certainly wasn't a pretty group. But it would do. It would do. The children's chests swelled. They had done it. They had raised an army. The king and queen, however, were suddenly no longer so keen on Hansel and Gretel's plan. Wait, you're going out? Said the queen when the children came before them that night. You never said anything about you going out.
They're not going out, the king said. I will not allow it.
The queen looked at the two children as they stood before her, stone-faced and armed. Please, she said. We've already lost you once. We couldn't stand losing you again. Please, my children. She began softly to cry. Their father came and knelt before them and took each one by the hand.
Please, my dears, he said, understand. You are children. Why can't you send someone else out in your stead?
Father, Gretel said, maybe you should try to understand that yourself. She and Hansel drew their hands away. Their mother began to cry louder. Hansel and Gretel went to the stable to ready the ox cart with the golden apples. The apples were held securely under a canvas tarp and, except for the one apple they had given to the poor family and the other one they had given to their mother, they were all there. As Gretel hitched the cart up to Betty, Hansel looked under the cover of the other. What about the wine? He said. Maybe we could get the dragon drunk. Gretel smiled, but he said, really? Why not? It couldn't hurt, I guess, Gretel said, so they hitched up Ivy, too. When the sky was black and dotted with stars and the moon was just beginning to creep above the horizon, big and round and white, the two children led the ox carts out into the darkness. Hansel and Gretel looked back over their shoulders with pride. Behind them followed their army. They led them down a road to a large wood that stood not far from the castle. As they approached, the army began to whisper and point. The ground at the wood's edge seemed to glow, as if the moon was reflected by the very soil. It shimmered and sparkled, an earthbound Milky Way. Was it magic? The soldiers asked one another. Or a sign from the dragon. But Hansel and Gretel confidently followed the path of white pebbles that they had scattered on the forest floor the day before, leading their army deep into the wood, to a large grassy clearing. Here, for the first time, Hansel and Gretel told the army their plan. They would all stay in hiding until the dragon came for the bait. When it came, if it came, they would wait until it was distracted by the contents of the ox carts. Then, when it was least ready to defend itself, they would spring out of their hiding places and attack. You have every right to be afraid, Gretel told them. The dragon is big. The dragon is strong. The dragon has divided our families and taken our children and stolen our childhoods. But that is no reason to cower. Until we stand up to him, our lives will remain shattered. Our hearts will remain divided against themselves. Our heads will remain severed from our bodies. The moon was white and bright behind Gretel. Hansel stared at her. He didn't quite understand what she was talking about. But we will soon be healed, she went on. We will be healed.
There will be blood first, but then there will be tears of joy. For our kingdom, she shouted. And our families, Hansel cried. And our children, they said together. The soldiers repeated their cry. In the silence that followed, all could hear the word children echoing off the thick trees and then away through the black wood. Gretel readied the ox carts in the clearing. In the moonlight, the apples glowed golden, as if they possessed some fairy magic. Hansel unharnessed Ivy and Betty from their carts and tried to shoo them off, but the two oxen took to cropping grass nearby. Someone had to drag them by their halters far off into the woods, as far as possible from the field of battle. Don't worry, Ivy and Betty will be fine. I just wish I could say the same for everyone else. Leaving both carts out in the clearing, the two children retreated to the cover of trees to watch and wait. The forest made sounds, branches creaking, leaves whispering to one another, bats flapping between trees looking for prey. Hansel plucked the grass at his feet. Gretel fingered a small dagger strapped to her belt. The volunteer soldiers began shifting uneasily. One did not venture into a wood at night, especially not when there was a dragon about. Sword handles became slick with sweat. Bowstrings were pulled back and released, pulled back and released. An owl hooted. Far off, they could hear its great wings beating against the air. No, they were not the wings of an owl. The beats were too far apart, too deep and distant. Hansel and Gretel peered out from under the cover of branches and leaves, but they could see nothing against the black, starry sky. And then there it was, in front of the moon, the long, thin silhouette of the dragon, its wings resting on the currents of night air. Its body was narrow, its 4 feet were tucked up underneath it, its long tail trailed out behind. Its wings were so thin that the moonlight shone through them. Stifled gasps arose from those who had never seen it. It was disgusting. It was enormous. From below, one could see the outline of its head, broad and viper-like. It looked nothing like the dragons in storybooks. Not even the dragon on the cover of this book, dear reader. Go ahead, take a look. That dragon, you see, was designed to alert you to the presence of a dragon in these pages. What it was not designed to do is make you sick with horror and awe. So the snake-like head, the eyes with no pupils, the translucent wings, those were all left off. You're welcome. Gretel made a sign to the army. Arrows were notched, bows began to bend. The dragon disappeared from sight. Down below, all waited. Then it appeared again over the clearing, a little lower this time. It had seen the gold. It was circling. Gretel could hear her brother's breath becoming quiet and quick. Hansel heard his sister's heartbeat mingling with his own. The dragon flew over them again, lower, and was gone. Then again, lower still. Then again. Gretel gestured at the sky. Arrows were aimed. They waited. The dragon flew over again. It was close enough that they could see the delicate scales of its skin gleaming in the moonlight, and its enormous jagged talons. It flew over again, and this time the leaves on the trees shook from its passage. The trees became still. They waited and waited. No dragon. Hansel and Gretel and all their soldiers stared up at the black starry sky, empty save for the moon. What happened? Gretel whispered to her brother. He shook his head and shrugged. They waited longer. The people began to feel uneasy. They let their bowstrings go slack. They rubbed the sweaty handles of their weapons trying to find a good purchase. Where, they wondered, was the dragon? The darkness seemed to become heavier, more menacing. Glancing over their shoulders, they could see no more than a few feet into the forest. Then through the silence, there ran a sudden whisper in the leaves. The whole army stopped breathing all at once. They stood still and listened. Hansel felt something beneath his feet. Carefully, he lowered himself and put his hand on the earth. He felt it again. Gretel, he whispered, the ground is shaking. I know, she whispered back. I feel it. It shook again and again. Now all the men and women were looking frantically back and forth between the ground and the black forest that surrounded them. People began to whisper, "What is it? And what's happening?" "Shh," Gretel hissed. "Quiet." But they wouldn't quiet. They were afraid. And then they saw it, weaving through the trees like an enormous snake with legs. Its wings were folded along its spine, its wide, viper-like head swung back and forth as it moved, and its golden eyes were shining in the moonlight. It had come to take them from behind, and it was moving fast, so fast that the first villagers barely had time to scream before it was upon them. Oh, I forgot to mention. The little kids, they really shouldn't be here for this. Its mouth opened wide and snapped down on a woman with a bow. She hadn't even moved to defend herself. There hadn't been time. Now half of her was gone. Simultaneously, with a massive taloned claw, the dragon swiped at a man with an axe. He landed on his back 10 feet away, without his internal organs. With that, the forest awoke. Some of the people tried to fight the giant creature, most tried to run. Occasionally, with a horrible tearing sound, the dragon would kill someone else. Hansel grabbed Gretel and held her tightly. "Don't go out there! It will kill us, all of us!" And then he called at the top of his lungs, "Retreat! Retreat! Retreat!" The woods became madness. Screams rose and died. People ran in all directions. "Retreat!" Hansel shouted. "Retreat!" "It's no good," Gretel said to him. "We've got to go." "Where?" Hansel asked. "To the dragon." "What?" "To lure it away. Run out ahead and make it chase us." "It'll kill us," Hansel said. Gretel set her mouth. "It's us or them." Hansel took a deep breath. He nodded at Gretel. Then he stood up and made his way toward the sounds of death. As he came near, he saw a man and a woman hiding behind a tree. The dragon was on the other side, its head moving this way and that, trying to see where they had gone. They had no weapons. They were shaking so badly they dropped them at their feet. Suddenly, the dragon darted to one side of the tree. They froze. Hansel cried out. The dragon turned in time to see Hansel scoop up a fallen spear and then with one motion launch it the dragon's way. It glanced harmlessly off of the dragon's black, snake-like scales. Hansel stopped. He stared. "Oh," he thought. And then he thought, "That's bad." Hansel spun to his left into the woods. The dragon followed. "Get away!" Gretel bellowed at the remaining troops. "Get away!" And they did. They ran. On the ground were many bodies, but many more were now escaping through the dark underbrush. The dragon was coming back. Gretel could hear it, feel it through the vibrations of the ground. She scrambled to hide. The dragon passed her swift as water, its serpentine head swaying from side to side as it moved. From its mouth dripped blood. Suddenly Gretel wondered what had happened to Hansel. The dragon headed straight for the gold at the center of the clearing. Briefly, Gretel considered going to look for Hansel, but instead making sure she wasn't seen or heard, Gretel followed on the dragon's path. She crouched behind a thick thorn brush, at the clearing's edge. An axe lay not 10 feet from her, out in the open. Gretel left it where it was. The dragon was standing beside the cart of apples. It turned its head this way and that, and then began to pace, its golden eyes glaring at the glowing mountain. Now the plan was working, Gretel realized, incredulous. The dragon couldn't figure out how to take all the apples at once. It was confused, frustrated. If only she still had an army to attack it. After a few minutes, the dragon seemed to notice the other cart. It approached it and tore at the canvas with its teeth, revealing the barrels. It picked up one of the barrels with its massive jaws. It crushed it. Wine poured out, some down its throat, most onto the ground. The dragon spit out the staves of the broken barrel, shook itself, and resettled its wings on its back. It stood a moment, considering the stack of barrels. Then it took another in its mouth and drank it down just as it had the first one, but this time catching more of the wine in its throat. It seemed to like it. It did it again, and again, and again. Gretel could not believe what she was seeing. After the dragon had drunk 6 barrels of wine, it tried to rise into the air, but now its flight was wobbly and uncertain. "The dragon is drunk," Gretel said to herself. She almost laughed. The dragon came back to the ground and drunk down 4 more barrels of wine. Soon it was teetering back and forth, even when it walked. It came up to the cart with the golden apples, stuck its head underneath, and tried to lift it. Without a moment's hesitation, Gretel leaped from the thorn brush and began to sprint towards the dragon. She could see its black leg stuck out behind it, straining against the weight of the gold. She could see a thick, pulsing vein running over the dragon's backward-bending knee joint. Gretel stooped for the axe without breaking her stride. She covered the distance between the axe and the dragon quickly. She lifted the weapon high and brought it down. The dragon screamed. It was a scream like nothing Gretel had ever heard before. She thought 100 woodland creatures must be all dying at once. That was the sound. It pierced Gretel's head like a spear. The dragon turned. It saw the little golden-haired girl holding an axe, frozen by the sound of its scream. It watched, shocked, drunken, disbelieving, as the little girl dropped the axe and sprinted off towards the woods. Behind her on the ground was an axe, covered in black dragon blood, and 2 dragon toes. The dragon shook itself, bellowed once, and followed, limping after her. Gretel heard the dragon coming. It sounded clumsy, heavy. The wine, she thought. And the toes, of course. She cursed herself for missing the vein. She had never wielded an axe before. Gretel wove through the trees, trying to keep ahead of it. Where was Hansel? What had happened to him? She could hear the dragon, wine-sodden and wounded as he was, catching up to her. Just get away from it, she thought. Get free of it, so I can find Hansel and we can get out of here. But how to get free of it? She thought of diving into a bush and letting the dragon run past, but it wouldn't run past. It would see her and kill her. She thought of finding a narrow cave and crawling into it. Good idea, but where could she find a cave? And then up ahead she saw a tree. It was an enormous pine, easily the tallest tree in this part of the forest. Without thinking, without any plan at all, she made for it. The pine's bristly branches started low to the ground and ran densely up the trunk. As soon as she arrived at its base, Gretel leaped onto the lowest ones and began to climb. She climbed around to the far side of the trunk in the hope that the dragon might not see her. When, a moment later, the dragon, drunk and limping, arrived at the tree's base, it was indeed confused. It seemed to know she had gotten up in the tree, but she was 40 feet up by the time it realized she was on the other side of the trunk. It set off after her. It tried to use its wings, but they would catch on the branches of the surrounding trees. It tried to climb, but the branches were too thin, and they went crackling and tumbling to the ground when it put its weight on them. So the dragon ended up digging its rough talons into the soft wood and ascending the trunk in leaps, smashing branches as it went. The pine needles brushed at Gretel's face as she climbed, and the sticky sap of the tree stuck to her palms. Her heart was pounding from fatigue and fear, but there was no chance to rest. The dragon was gaining. Its leaps up the trunk gained it 10 feet or more, while its occasional slides back down, stripping whatever branches it hadn't smashed on the way up, gained her only a few seconds at most. Her hand reached for the next branch and she pulled herself up. Her feet gained a secure hold and pushed her up to the next one. Go, she told herself, go. And then she thought, where? She looked up, hoping that perhaps the top of the tree would be too thin for the dragon to follow her onto. Perhaps it was, but it was also far above the other trees around it. Up there, the dragon could use its wings. Just climb, she told herself, just climb. She reached up and grabbed onto the next branch. Well, excuse us, a voice said. Gretel lost her grip and nearly fell out of the tree. Well, I never, said the voice. Some people. Gretel looked up. There was a thick mess of twigs and needles on the branch above her head. Well, said another voice, see who it is. And then a black head with black eyes and a black beak peered over the branch above her. Well, I'll be, said the first raven, if it isn't Gretel. No, here, said the second. Tell her to be more considerate of a raven's nest, said the third. Has she no manners? Was she raised by apes? I think she was raised by a king and queen, said the second. The ravens? In this very tree? Gretel could barely believe it. In fact, if it had not been for all the strange, incredible things that had happened to her already, perhaps she wouldn't have. But after eating a house and talking to the stars and all the rest of it, well, she believed it just fine. Please, she said, help me. The sound of tearing wood came from below. She looked down. The dragon had just slid halfway down the trunk again. Please, there's a dragon after me.
Help you, said the third raven. After what you've done to our nest?
Oh, it's not so bad, said the second raven.
You're not the one who's going to fix it, though, are you?
I have my responsibilities, too. When food is scarce and my job is difficult, do I complain? Said the second raven.
Yes, the other two ravens answered at once.
Below, the dragon regained its footing and was climbing again. Please, Gretel cried.
We can't help you, said the first.
Yes, said the second. It's not what we do. Gretel looked down. The dragon was gaining quickly. She hadn't time to plead. Then move, she shouted, and clambered up onto their branch, just barely avoiding crushing their nest with her foot.
Careful there, the third raven called.
Gretel pushed past their branch, straining to keep ahead of the dragon.
The first raven beat his wings beside her.
"I'm sorry for my companion's rudeness," he said. "We understand the gravity of your situation." He looked down. No pun intended, of course. Gretel didn't know what he was talking about.
"Are you going to help me or not?" she cried.
"I'm afraid we can't," the raven said. "You see, we can only tell the future. We can't attempt to change it. It wouldn't do any good, you see. It's the future." There was an enormous crack from below, followed by terrible squawking. Gretel hurried her pace, but up ahead the branches were thinning out to almost nothing. She was just about out of branches to climb to, and at any moment the dragon would be able to fly. Just as Gretel realized there was nowhere else for her to go, around her head there was a frantic beating of wings and a very angry raven.
"Did you see that? Did you? Our nest! Gone! Crushed! Unbelievable! The height of inconsideration!"
The second raven fluttered up beside the third.
"Inconsiderateness, I think, is the word."
"Either one is acceptable," said the first judiciously.
"I don't care about the stupid word," the third raven cried. "I care about our nest."
Suddenly, Gretel was nearly blown off the tree by a swift burst of air. She turned. The dragon was hovering beside her, beating its translucent wings, staring at her with his terrible golden eyes. The dragon's mouth was no more than 6 feet away. He opened it.
"Kill!"
the third raven shrieked, and in one of the more comical acts of heroism Gretel had ever seen, the raven dove at the dragon's head. The dragon snapped at it, and the raven turned and headed back for the tree.
"Retreat!" he called. "Temporary retreat!"
Now, the third raven was not afraid of dying. As the ravens have already implied, there are some things that they do, and some things they do not do. Dying is of the latter group. Of course, getting trapped in the stomach of a dragon is, even for a creature that cannot die, an indescribably unpleasant experience. Though not quite as unpleasant, I would imagine, as getting out again. The dragon flew closer to Gretel. It snapped at her feet. Gretel could smell its hot, horrible breath, see the blood and the foam mingling between its long, sharp teeth, hear the beating of its enormous heart out of time with the beat of its enormous wings. It lunged at her, not only with its head, but with its entire body. It knocked the branch she was standing on clear off the tree. She fell and grabbed the only thing she could, the dragon's neck. The dragon reared backward. Perhaps if it had its full wits about it, it might have managed to get her off its back. But as it was drunk, it circled in the air and snapped at its own shoulders, but could not manage to get her off. "Atta girl!" cried the first raven.
"Yee-haw!" yelled the second. "Incoming!"
crowed the third, and it dove for the dragon's eyes. The dragon twisted away from the attack and beat its huge wings 3 or 4 times to rise above the tree. The ravens followed. Up, up through the black starry night they rose. Gretel held on tightly to the dragon's supple, scaly skin as its muscles rippled beneath her. Occasionally the dragon would twist to try and snap at her, but she was too close to its head. She worried that it might use its claws to get at her as a dog gets at fleas. But a dragon is not a dog, and that hadn't seemed to occur to it yet. From time to time the ravens would reappear beside Gretel and make diving attacks at the dragon's eyes.
"Avenge the nest!" cried the third raven.
"A bird's nest is its castle!" cried the second, finally getting into it.
"Habeas corpus!" cried the first, somewhat tangentially.
So the dragon kept rising. The air became cold around Gretel's hands. Her knuckles turned blue. Soon she and the dragon were higher than the ravens could fly. But the dragon didn't seem to mind. Its transparent wings took them higher and higher and higher still, until Gretel had to breathe hard to get any air at all, and her head began to spin. Still, the dragon climbed. And then Gretel heard a voice. It was low and soft and creepy. It said,
"Fee-fi-fo-fesh. I think I smell child flesh."
Gretel looked up. There, very, very close, was the moon. His eyes were hard and glistening like diamonds. His white lips were parted around his sharp, ivory teeth. He was watching Gretel as the dragon rose.
"Oh boy," Gretel muttered.
Snap! The cold breath of the moon froze the sweat on Gretel's neck. The dragon felt it too and turned. The moon snapped again. The dragon twisted. The moon wanted nothing to do with the dragon. Not that the moon was afraid of dragons. The moon is not afraid of anything except the sun, and only then because the sun calls him names and he does not appreciate that. Still, the moon does not generally bother dragons.
Of course, dragons do not often have children on their backs, and the moon rarely passes up an opportunity to taste the succulent, tender meat of a child. The dragon twisted, and the moon snapped his teeth. Twist, snap, twist, snap, twist, snap, twist, snap. Gretel fumbled at her belt. She wanted to be eaten by the moon even less than by the dragon. She took out her little dagger. And as the dragon twisted and the moon prepared to snap again, she plunged the dagger into the dragon's neck with all her might. It did not pierce the scales, but the dragon turned toward her and toward the moon. It screamed. Gretel fell through the air. Her arm was covered in black dragon blood. Above her, the dragon was screaming its terrible scream and writhing back and forth. Above that, the moon was trying to spit the disgusting dragon meat out of its mouth, and cursing himself for missing Gretel's tender flesh. She watched them disappear into the blackness as she fell. Gretel would die any moment now, that was clear. She had been thousands of feet in the air, higher than the ravens could fly. Soon she would hit the ground, and all of her bones would be broken, and her brain would smash through her skull, and her heart would stop beating immediately. Or, she thought, she would land on a sharp branch and be skewered like a piece of meat. Her speed increased as she fell. The cold air grew a little warmer. She could see the stars twinkling at her from above. Then she hit something. It was soft, and she rolled off it and kept falling. She hit another soft thing, and then rolled off that. She hit a third soft thing, and then rolled off that into the branches of the tree, hitting its leafy branches as she fell. Then she hit the ground. She was not dead. She sat up and looked around. She was covered with black feathers. She heard a fluttering sound and saw three woozy black ravens, missing most of their plumage, settling on a branch overhead. "Ow," said the first raven. "Ow," said the second raven. "Ow," said the third raven. "That hurt," they all said at once. "You saved me," Gretel said. "Not intentionally," said the third raven. "You just happened to hit us on your way down," said the second. "Of course, we knew that would happen," said the first. "We just didn't know it would hurt so much." Suddenly, Gretel leaped to her feet and ran off into the woods. "Manners," said the third raven. "We saved her life, and she just runs off without a thank you," said the second. "She's going to find her brother." "Oh, yes," said the second. "We knew that," said the third. Gretel tore through the wood, branches slapping at her face, vines grabbing at her ankles. "Hansel," she cried, "Hansel!" The creepy child-eating moon shone down through the branches of the trees. She ran by his light. Ahead, in the shadow of a pine sapling, lay a body. It was face down on the ground. Gretel slowed and approached it. She turned it over and quickly turned away. It was not Hansel. It had a gash across its chest, and half a head. Gretel got up, swallowed bile, and began to run again. She saw another body, lying half in a bush. She ran to it and pulled it out. A woman. Her chest was caved in, and her neck was bent at an unnatural angle. Gretel turned and ran on. Bodies. More bodies. Gretel hadn't realized so many had fallen. There were dozens of them, scattered, lifeless, throughout the woods. But where was Hansel? Where was he? Was he as lifeless as those bodies she found in the underbrush? Was he as still, as cold? Where was he? Then the forest floor began to shine. White pebbles. The white pebbles were lighting her way. She followed them. They brought her to the clearing. There, standing at the clearing's center, was Hansel, covered in blood. She ran to him and threw her arms around him. "I'm okay," he said hoarsely. "It's not my blood. I was helping the wounded." She nodded and held him. They followed the path of shining pebbles out of the woods. As they walked, the creepy moon illuminated the forest floor, and the bodies scattered among the silent trees. Some faces were covered in blood, with eyes open but dead. Others were crushed beyond recognition. A hand was lodged in the crook of a branch. A young woman lay face down, her hair spread about her bloody head like a halo. The children hid their faces. Lost lives. Empty bodies. Hansel and Gretel held each other as they walked through the quiet, awful night. Okay. Take a breath. Last story. Here we go.